Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 23. It is a continued study of a casual Christian has a confused conscience. This is part two. This is the first half of this two-part study.
Amen. So Genesis 19, let's pick it up in verse 12. I'll read through that, but we've already kind of gone through it. But just to get us an idea of where we're at, because we've been in Genesis 19 for some time now. But Genesis 19, verse 12 says, "Then the two men said to Lot, 'Whom else do you have here? A son-in-law and your sons and daughters, and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry has become so great before the Lord, and that the Lord has sent us to destroy it.' So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were married to his daughters, and he said, 'Up and get out of this place.'" So we kind of left off there, and one of the things we were talking about, just to catch you up, is we were talking about how kids today were, how they get their counseling today. And the main reason is one of the things we talked about was music, and the other being social networks. And so that's why we are in the world that we're in today, if you just look at topical music of today. But I think the one thing, and this got cut off in the teaching, this is why I want to make sure I got this, was Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. We had some audio things that happened right at the end of the teaching, but it says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." If you want peace in your life, your mind has to be set on the spirit. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So no matter how much serving you do, if you're in the flesh, there's nothing that you can do by works that will please God. And so that's just something to think about. Now, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed in the spirit, and this is what I wanted to make sure we got, I love this verse. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And so one of the things I love about that is just to remember the indwelling spirit that resides in you. And I think we forget that at times. The walk that we're in, the things that we're trying to do, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just leave it there. And verse 15, in Genesis 15, it says, "When morning dawned, and the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city.' But he hesitated." This is something that godly men need to be very careful with. You've been given a command or given something that you're supposed to do by God, you need to do it. Because there's no other answer. If he's your Lord, the answer is yes. Because if it's no, he's not your Lord. It's yes. Yes, Lord. And he hesitates. And then the other part of it is, where are the two son-in-laws? They didn't take his counsel, which speaks volumes about his character. They didn't receive the counsel. But he hesitated, so the men grasped his hand and the hand of his wives and the hands of his two daughters, because the compassion of the Lord was upon them, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. He had to be taken out of the city. This is the grace of God. He would have stayed there and died. The men had to take him and his wife and the family out by hand. Because of why? The compassion of the Lord was upon you, or upon him. It's the compassion of Christ that is so important to get in that, is like to understand, like sometimes you're running towards the fire and something pulls you. A scripture, a word of encouragement, a prayer. Somebody praying for you, and you just go, man, I got to turn. I'm going to follow. I'm going with you, you know. Sometimes it is a brother pulling you and taking you and say, hey, man, you're going the wrong way. I love you. Are we going to actually show that same compassion? We're supposed to, right? We're supposed to. And it says, when they brought him outside, one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. And do not stay anywhere in the surrounding area. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Two things that are given. He's telling them two things. He says, don't look behind. And this is the problem with many Christians today, as they're too busy looking at their past and too many things that are going behind them. You can't fix. You can only fix what's in the day that you're in right now. The other thing he tells them is like escape, and he gives them specific directions to where? The mountains. To the mountains. And this is the difference between Lot and Abraham. Abraham was about the word. Lot is about the world. Because we'll see what happens. He starts negotiating. And that's what a carnal Christian, or I don't even know if you can call them a carnal Christian. They're just not Christian. Let's just call it for what it is. If they continue to keep running and running and running and running and running to sin, you have to ask the question, did they actually give their heart over? Because there should be some change in their life, even if it's minuscule, right? Like even the snail makes it to the ark. There should be some, like, okay, they're messing up, but man, you can see it. They get back up and they come back to church and they're trying to get, but it's one thing when somebody's not listening to godly counsel, not listening to the word of God, but just continuing to look to the world for answers. And many people will do that. They will come up and say the prayer and they'll live for the world. Don't need church. I think we had Tom Hughes had put it out. He's from Calvary Chapel. He does a lot of end times stuff. He's on Understanding Prophecy, I think, a bunch, and he's on Countdown to Eternity. But Tom put something and posted something this week about the decline of Christians attending church now. It's gone down again. People just, I got other things to do. I got other things that are more important. And I'm not saying that there are going to be emergency things that do come up and you can't make it. That's okay. I get that. But I'm talking when you start going months, or where you think, oh, I can just watch this online and I'm good. You're not. That should have never happened. Because that's not church. It's you need this. You need that, hey, I need prayer. The TV's not going to do that. The TV's just going to provide more temptation. The phone's just going to provide more temptation. Oh, wait a minute, I got text. Let me see what that is. And you take, before you know it, you're not even watching the sermon anymore. But people do that in service too. Have you ever seen that when they pull their phone out? And they're playing a game or something, sitting next to you on the, and you're like, why are you here? You might as well be at the house. But that's where people are at. Sometimes they get swept away. And I love that term. You will be swept away. If you continue to keep running and running to sin, you will be swept away. And that's what happens to Lot's wife. She's swept away. She kept looking back. But here goes Lot. But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your compassion, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me and I will die." So he's actually kind of buttering them up. "Hey, I found favor in your sight. You've shown compassion to me. Let's negotiate. I can't go to the mountains." He's like, "They'll overtake me and I will die. God told you to run to the mountains and you don't want to." This is Lot. This is why in so many scriptures you see, remember Lot's wife. It's sad. But this is where, you know, when we think about that, like, hey, well, Lord, you've shown me favor, so now I'm going to go ahead and go back and start doing this thing over here. I'm back in the good graces of God, so now I can kind of blur that gray area again. No. Again, if he's your Lord and he's telling you, go to the mountains, you go to the mountains. Now, many of us were like, yeah, summer's coming. We'll gladly go to the mountains, right? Texas summers are coming, and it's like, we'll run to the mountains. But he's like, hey, whatever's in the mountains that the Lord has for me, not good enough. It's not good enough. So he's telling them, like, God is telling you, like, hey, you need to go to the mountains, but that's not good enough. "Now behold, this town is near you to flee to, and it's small. Please let me escape there." Is it not small? Like, here's what I want, and here's a question to embellish what I want. That's double talking. You don't want that. "So that my life may be saved." Brother, your life would have been saved if you ran to the mountains. But he won't do it. And he said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request." So God gives it to him. "Not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the town was named Zoar. So Lot's heart was in Sodom. And because he couldn't have Sodom, he wanted Zoar. And there's a lack of urgency. Like, hey, bro, they're fixing it. God's going to destroy this. And you're negotiating in the middle of it. That's like you're taking gunfire. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Let me go talk about this thing first. It's like, dude, you're fixing to get shot. It's like you need to pay attention to what God has given you. There is a lack of urgency, and that is what a backslidden condition looks like. When somebody is not following God, that's the backslidden condition, as they will always, well, man, brother, I'll come with you to church next week. Oh, I didn't make it. Maybe next week. Oh, I'm going to stop drinking, man. I'm getting there. No, you just need to stop. You need to stop. Like, dude, your liver's shutting down. You need to stop. You're going to be dead in 6 months. Oh, you know, I'll get to it. But that's what it is. You're always compromising. And that's what confusion in a confused conscience looks like, is like, you know, and it's so sad when you know this is the thing that God has asked you to do, and you don't do it. You want to negotiate, and you start questioning your conscience, and you've already read it from the Word of God. You've already had it. Somebody, like, have you ever been in Scripture that morning, and then somebody get, like, you're talking to somebody, and they give you that same Scripture? It's like, dude, you've heard it twice now. Two times. And you ain't listening to God. What is it going to take for something to fall on your head to get it? He's dragging out this decision. It's like he needs to go to the hills, to the mountains. In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, we know the verse very well. It says, "I will raise my eyes to the mountain, for where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The Lord is being merciful even within his judgment. Even within his judgment. But God will always judge sin. That's why I tell you, that's the question people will ask all the time. Well, I don't know if they're really following. Or I don't know if they're really, they've come back to the Lord and they're going back to church. Are they really, what does it say in Scripture? Repentance bears fruit. It should bear fruit. If there's no fruit being bared, there ain't no repentance. You just got some remorse and I'm sorry. And that's what you get. And another thing out of this is sometimes the Lord will have to seize you and make you move. Like, there's a repercussion for your sin now. I'm gonna get you moving. And that's part of it. He will judge sin. And this is what happens when you allow the world to impact your decisions and not the Word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek your word. Seek His. That's what happens is you don't know the will of God because you're not in the Word of God. You're not in fellowship. You don't come to prayer. You stop doing the things that you were first doing, and that's what happens when you start having a confused conscience. And you have clear directions, but you can't follow them because you've allowed so much of the world into your decision. He told them to go to the mountains. But what did he do? What got him in trouble in the first place? Sodom. Where does he want to go now? Zoar. Smart decision? No. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Verse 23 says, Then the sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. There's actually a place near the Dead Sea that actually has the fire and brimstone, the actual balls, and they found, and they actually are some of the, I forget what type of chemical gets made out of that. And they're buried, and the stuff that's under it has been scorched. And those things, they say, when they light them, are so pure, there's nothing like it else on earth. I'll post that video for y'all tomorrow to see. It just proves the Bible. Proves the Bible. Why would the Dead Sea have anything growing in it? Right? And so I love that. I love when you get to see. That's why biblical archaeology is so important. The Bible comes to life. It's not only when you read it through prophecy and the promises of God, but when you look and study biblical. I never studied it until I went to school. And it was one of my favorite subjects because you were like, oh man, that's in the Bible. And it's like, that's in the Bible. And it's like, so it just strengthens your faith. And so he rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. And it's a reminder to us, with the great white throne of judgment, there will be judgment. There will be judgment. And if your name is not written in the book of life, then you will experience something like you've never thought. And hell ain't something that AC/DC wrote about. Every movie you see in hell, they make it look like a party. It's not going to be that. It will not be that. So, and he overthrew those cities and all the surrounding area and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. In that same area, nothing grows. Nothing to this day. To this day. And I think it's the sulfur. That's what I'm remembering. The sulfur balls. They're so pure. The guy was saying, he goes, most of the time when you see these things, they're not like this. When he lights it, he goes, these things could light for a very long time. He goes, we've never seen anything like this anywhere else in the world, ever. And guess what? Nothing grows in that area. They can't grow crops. They can't do any. It doesn't grow. But Lot's wife, from behind, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now that's the verse that most people know when they read the scripture and they study it is Lot's wife looking back. And that's such a thing about that. But let's push forward and then we'll get back to that. It says, now Abraham got up earlier in the morning and went to a place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the surrounding area. And behold, he saw the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. So it came about when God destroyed the cities of the surrounding area and the surrounding area that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of destruction when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. This beautiful, lush area back in Genesis 13:10 that we read about is now destroyed. And sadly, I mean, she looks back. She looks back. And judgment will come. And that's why Jesus speaks about it. He uses Sodom and Gomorrah to remind us in Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 32. And he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not leave or do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things, be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on that day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And it will be just the same on the day of the Son of Man as revealed. And on that day, the one who will be on the housetop with his goods in his house must not go down to take them. And likewise, the one that is in the field must not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. He uses that because he's reminding you, like, though when the rapture happens, people will be buying and selling and marrying. But when the tribulation begins, the great tribulation, judgment's coming. And to understand, like, he's telling you, don't be looking back at the world. Don't let the world become your focus. I always give y'all Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and it's like, keep your eyes on God. Look up. He's telling you, even in these verses, not to look back. Most of us remember the movie, you know, that I'm trying to think of the name of it now, and it slipped my head. The quote is, "What we do now echoes into eternity." And honestly, the moment that you give your life to Christ, your heart to Christ, and you repent of your sins, eternity begins for you in the moment. Everything that you do will be placed and put on the Bema seat of judgment for those that are believers. You don't face the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment is for those who did not believe, who were on the wide road to hell. For those that were on the narrow path, you still go through the Bema seat of judgment. You're forgiven of your sins, your past, present, and future, but the things that you do now affect eternity. That's the rewards. Well, they get burned up, right? And for us, especially as we get ready for Easter, is we're not supposed to take our eyes off of the cross. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. And what happens is we have so many people that come to church and claim to have Christ in their heart, but they're looking back like Lot's wife, and they're treating people like Lot's wife would have been. Worldly. Worldly. That's where her heart was. Her heart was everything back there. Everything the world had to offer. What else do you need when you have God? You have God. You don't need anything else. Well, I got to eat. God will provide that stuff. Well, no, I got the job. No, you didn't. No, I made the money. No, you didn't. God provided that stuff. But see, that's the heart. When our heart starts to look to the world and we start loving the world and we start loving the things of the world. And Jesus is telling you, remember Lot's wife. You cannot have a firm grip on that stuff or it will have a hold of you. And I've used the analogy many times. I remember as a kid, first time ever looking at the ocean, 5 years old. I always only got to play in the gully in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. My dad would take us out, and the only time I ever got to play was in the gullies. The first time I ever got to go, and when you look at that ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and you're a five-year-old, it is massive. Can I tell you, I had a firm grasp with two hands to my father as we're hitting the waves, walking out. And I'm telling you, that's you. That should be you with Jesus, clinging on and holding. Take my hand. Are you going to take it? You should have never let go of it. That's why we prepare our minds and we have them in the right mind frame, which is again, I seek first the kingdom of God. So the things that I need to be doing are things that God will grow that in my faith. Being in the Word of God, having the Word of God stored in my heart, spending time with other believers in fellowship, with Koinonia, admonishing each other and building each other up and correcting and reproving.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.